Parshas Nosoi. In this parsha, one of the topics that comes up is the topic of Sota, a woman whose husband saw her behaving in a manner that he was concerned. He saw her spending time with another man, and he warned her about it. And yet she persists, she continues, and she goes into a secluded place with this other man. There are no witnesses that she actually committed a sin, but there are witnesses that she went into seclusion. And what has to be done is she has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohen, and the Kohen speaks to her first, and he tries very hard to convince her that if she did actually commit a sin, she should confess. She should admit it and not allow the names of Hashem to be erased in order to give her those special waters to drink. If she confesses and admits to her sin, that's a major kapara for her. That's a major atonement for her. If she doesn't, then the Kohen gives her the waters to drink. There's a whole process. The Kohen uncovers her hair and she's reprimanded because of the fact that she crossed a certain line by just allowing herself to be secluded with another man after having been told that this was dangerous, that she should keep her distance. However, if she did not commit any sin, the Torah tells us that she gets a bracha, a special blessing. If she didn't have children up until that point, now she'll be able to have children. If she had children, she'll have better children, etc. Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchas Birchas HaPeiros, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Tezvav, speaks about this, and he tells us that we know that the word Torah means to teach. Every line in the Torah has a message in it for everyone. So that in this instance of a Soita, we don't have this today. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have these special waters that are given to a woman to drink. However, this Parsha applies to each and every single Jew who chas v'shalom transgresses, crosses a line. So that a Jew is tested. If chas v'shalom, the person committed a sin, a sinful act, and if the person feels embarrassed about it, and they admit, they confess to Hashem about the fact that they were wrong in crossing this line, and the person makes a genuine effort to come close to tzaddikim, just as in the case of this woman, she had to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. She had to be brought before the Kohen. And we know that the Kohen very often represents the tzaddik. There's a pasuk that the Gemara quotes, Ki sifsei Kohen yishmeru das, v'toiro yivakshu mipihu, ki malach Hashem tzvoko esu. From the lips of a Kohen, you will seek knowledge and wisdom and seek Torah from him because he's like a heavenly angel. That pasuk isn't referring only to a Kohen, it's referring to a tzaddik. So just as in the case of this woman, the husband brought her to the tzaddik, a Jew who realizes that he crossed a red line and he wants to do tshuva, part of that requires the coming to the tzaddik and seeking the help of the tzaddik in being able to do the tshuva. And again, this issue of shame and embarrassment. The Gemara makes a statement that a person who commits a sin and feels ashamed about it, Hashem forgives that person for all of their sins. So this concept of busha, feeling ashamed and embarrassed and sincere regret, is a very, very powerful thing. How much more so a person who is pure, as in the case of the woman we said, if she didn't commit an actual sin, and yet the person still feels ashamed about the fact that they're not as pure as they would want to be, they're not as good as they would like to be, then that person is zoche through that kind of feeling of embarrassment. Rabbi Nachman refers to that as tshuva and tshuva al tshuva. It's a very, very high level repentance when a person is being good. They're doing good things, they're not committing sins, but still they wish they could be better. They know they could be better and they feel embarrassed and ashamed over the fact that they're not where they would really want to be. That's considered an incredibly high level of tshuva. On the other hand, a person chas v'shalom who has committed sins and refuses to admit it, refuses to acknowledge it, and doesn't feel embarrassed, and especially chas v'shalom, if on top of that they show disrespect to tzaddikim, they insult tzaddikim, then chas v'shalom, the Torah says that the woman received a very severe type of punishment. And that would apply also to a person in that category, chas v'shalom. If a person isn't honest with themselves and honest with Hashem in acknowledging the mistakes that they made and asking for forgiveness. One of the other topics that comes up in this week's parsha is the topic of neder, making a vow. Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this several times, that this is one of the greatest chidushim in Judaism, that Hashem has given us the ability to create Torah. There are 613 commandments in the Torah, mitzvahs, positive ones, negative ones. It doesn't say in the Torah that you can't drink orange juice or that you can't have milk. And yet, if a Jew goes ahead and says, I will not drink orange juice for 30 days, for a year, or any type of vow like that, it becomes Torah. That person becomes obligated according to the Torah to uphold their word, to keep their word, what they said. Even if they didn't mention Hashem's name at all in the vow whatsoever, the person simply said, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do this. And Rav Nosson Zal points out that this shows us an incredibly important thing, number one, about a Jew, that when the Zohar HaKadosh makes a statement, Kutshebarichu v'Yisrael v'Oraisa Chadhu, Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one, that's real. That's very, very real. Just as the Torah has specific instructions and guidelines, what you can and can't, a Jew is like a Torah in that sense. A Jew also can create Torah, literally. He can create obligations and responsibilities for himself to have to do or to not be permitted to do certain things. How does he do this? With his mouth. He has to say it. He has to verbalize it. And this again teaches us the tremendous, the Torah says, Hachayim v'amoves biyad haloshan, that life and death are in the tongue. A person saying a good word can save a person's life, can save their own life. We gave the example before of confession. There's a pasuk, Mechase psho of lo yatzliach, a person who covers up, hides their sins will not succeed. Umoide, whereas if the person admits, v'yoyzev, and they resolve not to repeat it again, yirucham, they will receive Hashem's kindness. So we see this vidui dvorim, this verbal, the power of the mouth, to be able to erase sins, to be able to create Torah. And now we know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that nedarim siog leprishus, that a vow serves as a fence, a barrier, to help a person attain precious, which means to be able to rise to a level of being an ascetic, to avoid unnecessary luxuries in this world, to avoid participating and engaging in the type of behavior where a person is looking for excesses, things that they don't really need in order to live, in order to fulfill their mission in this world, and yet still they're looking for pleasures in this world, that kind of thing. So Rav Nosson Zal asks, how does this work? You're telling me that a person makes a vow that they're not gonna eat or do a certain act, and that gives the person the ability to avoid crossing that line. Rav Nosson Zal says, I don't understand either way. If the person really doesn't want to eat that food, then why do they need the vow for? If they know that it's wrong, it's not good for them, what is the vow going to help? And if you're telling me that with the vow, and if the case is that the person is weak and they need the vow to strengthen them, who's to say that after they make a vow, that they won't break the vow? And therefore he explains that it's true that Both sides of this are true. Number one, that even after a person makes a vow, the Gemara says, Nadorim asiyog leprishus and fizrizus, that it can help a person attain a higher level of closeness to Hashem, a higher level of being more spiritual. However, it's not foolproof. And it definitely is possible after, or just because a person made a vow, doesn't mean they don't have the Yetzirah anymore. There still is a Yetzirah, and this is why the Torah says, Lo yachel devaroi. Be very careful once you make a statement. Don't let your word be cheap. Remember that you did say this very clearly, and that locked you in a much more serious way to be obligated to fulfill what you said. That's on one hand. On the other hand, we're taught here that the koyach hadibur, that it is true that when a person is weak and they know that even though they'd like to do certain things, they'd like to learn a certain amount of Torah every day, or they'd like to avoid doing certain wrong things, chas v'shalom, by the fact that a person makes a statement, they make a verbal resolve to do it or not to do what they're talking about, that definitely gives the person major, major additional strength to push them, to obligate them to be able to fulfill it. And Rav Nosson Zal says, we find that Rabbi Nachman himself said that as a child, when he wanted to really push himself beyond limits, he would do it by making vows. And when Rav Nosson Zal told him, but doesn't the Gemara warn that the dangers here, the risks here are very serious? And Rabbi Nachman said, lovingly, that's for shlemazels like you. Now, as for ordinary people, it's true, this is very dangerous. And therefore, the types of vows that are permitted, that have less danger, is when a person makes a vow and fulfills it immediately on the spot. Let's say a person knows that their nature is to be miserly. It's hard for them to give. It's hard for them to give tzedakah sometimes, and sometimes when an opportunity comes up to give and they don't, they feel bad afterwards. They regret it. You know, I could have given, I should have given, I could have given more. So here, Rav Nosson Zal says, for a person to make a vow that I'm going to give $10 to tzedakah and take the $10 and put it into the pushka right away, that a person can do. There's much less risk involved of not fulfilling it if he has the money and he has it in his hands and the pushka is right there. And that can give the person an extra motivation, an extra push. Whereas when it comes to just taking on vows ordinarily, a much better etzah is tefillah. Tefillah meaning pleading with Hashem for divine assistance. We know that there's the famous Gemara, where the Gemara says, "B'chol yom v'yom yitzroi shel adam mezgaber olov or mezchadesh olov," that every single day the Yetzer Hara comes at a person new and stronger and better than the day before. V'ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yitzroi lo yochel lo, and without divine assistance, a person can't defeat the Yetzer Hara. So here, for a person to ask Hashem, if a person knows that they have a struggle with eating, with sleeping, with any type of sin, any type of act, where they're doing it in a form that takes on a form of sin, for a person to ask Hashem, and not one time, but to be persistent, to plead with Hashem for divine assistance in being able to succeed, in being able to overcome what they need to, in being able to fulfill what they need to. And this is also why Rabbeinu Zal tells us in the Likutei Moran that by making a vow, this can help a person regarding emunas chachamim, faith in tzaddikim. We know that when the Jews stood at Har Sinai, we celebrated the holiday of Shavuos, we read the Aseres Hadibros, and right after the Aseres Hadibros, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu that the significance of what took place here is that I want the Jewish people to recognize me, v'gam b'cho ya'aminu lo'olam. And in addition, I want them to believe in you eternally. And Rashi points out on Vegam Becho that it doesn't mean only Moshe Rabbeinu, it means all the subsequent prophets, all the subsequent tzaddikim. That was one of the important goals that Hashem had in mind in the revelation on Har Sinai. Rabbi Mizal says that the neder, the vow, when a person makes a vow and they fulfill it right away, that shows that the person has a certain will. Person has a desire, I want to be good. I want to show an extra zeal in my relationship with Hashem, even in things that I'm not literally obligated according to the Torah. And when a person shows that, this alone serves as a connection to the tzaddikim. Because what is a tzaddik? The definition, a tzaddik is one who has a deep love and respect for Hashem. The tzaddikim themselves are the ones who have put in tremendous effort to overcome their desires for materialism, those things that would draw a person away from Hashem, away from holiness, away from closeness to Hashem. The tzaddikim are the ones who have made tremendous effort to be able to overcome those things and to come close. So when a Jew on his level shows this initiative, person makes a neder showing a little bit, a spark of this zealousness that I want to come close to Hashem, I want to do, that alone serves as a tikkun, chas v'shalom, for any pigam in emunas chachamim, any weakness in faith in the rabbis and the tzaddikim, and that can help a person to be able to initiate a connection to the tzaddikim. And it's interesting, in this week's parsha also, we have a little bit later, the Torah tells us that the Nesiim, the leaders of the 12 tribes, on the day of the initiation of the Mishkan, when Hashem told the Jewish people that I'm offering you the opportunity to build a residence, to make a residence for me on earth, and I'll be there on a permanent basis. So the Torah tells us that the Nesiim, the leaders of the 12 tribes, they brought their sacrifice, their offering. What was their offering? They brought wagons with oxen to pull these wagons, and these wagons and oxen would be used to transport the Mishkan. Whenever they were traveling from place to place, the Nesiim were the ones who had the privilege of providing the wagons and the oxen that were used for the transportation. Now, we don't find Hashem instructing them to do this. We don't find any place in the Torah where Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Nesiim I want them to give this contribution. Where did they get this from? So Rabbi Yosef Zal quotes the Medrash Shir HaShirim, on the pasuk Yofo at Rayosi Kisirtza. You are beautiful, my beloved, as you want. You're as beautiful as you want to be. And the Medrash says as follows, Kad at Bayo. When you want, when a Jew has desire, ratzon, for Hashem, les atzricha bayo miklum, you don't have to ask anybody. Melech klum, you don't have to learn from anybody. Mi omar lohem lohavi eglas bokor litoin hamishkon. Who told these Nesiim, who told the leaders of these tribes to bring these wagons? Lo mehoinu bohoin, nobody. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody. Which means, and Rav Nosson Zal says, study the words of this Medrash very, very carefully. How the Medrash is telling us that when a Jew has real, sincere desire to serve Hashem, to come close to Hashem, that desire itself will guide the person and lead the person to be able to know, to discover how they could give nachas to Hashem. What they could do that'll bring tremendous satisfaction to Hashem. Meaning, what do you mean? Totally on his own? Rav Nosson says no. Meaning, through the hints, which the tzaddik hints to the person in his Torah. In other words, when a person studies the words of tzaddikim, and in those words the tzaddik discusses all kinds of different things, a person who has a real sincere desire to come close to Hashem, that person will be able to read the lines and what's between the lines in terms of giving them the ability to know, what can I do that'll please Hashem? In what manner, what is Hashem expecting from me that's different from anybody else? We know that the fact that Hashem created people, each person has a unique mission in this world. Each person has a unique opportunity to give a unique type of satisfaction to Hashem that nobody else can. Otherwise, Hashem wouldn't have created me. That doesn't mean he has to be completely different from everybody else. Doesn't mean he has to dress there, he has to... But it means that each one of us has an opportunity, a unique opportunity, to give Hashem a certain nachas. How does a person discover that? Through intense desire. By really wanting this, I really want to give nachas to Hashem, that'll give the person the clarity to be able to know what needs to be done. And we find this concept brought in many places, that the way Hashem operates, the way Hashem operated with Klal Yisrael when it came to coming out of Mitzrayim, and in other instances, is that Hashem winks to a person. Hashem gives a person a hint, showing the person that he wants the person to come close to him. Hashem doesn't come right out and make a clear statement. Hashem gives a remez, a hint. If the person has no interest in that whatsoever, they have no interest in connecting with Hashem, in anything spiritual, in self-improvement, then the person ignores that hint. But if a person has sincerity, and the person is always looking to improve, and the person is looking for what's the purpose of life, then when the person sees that hint, when they get that slight hint from Hashem, they pick up on it, and they start moving. They start doing something, putting in some kind of effort. We know there are stories of people, chas v'shalom, who a parent passed away, a close relative, and that was something that turned on something in them, where the person felt they have to do something. And a person who knew nothing about Torah, nothing about religion, asked, what do you do when a parent passes away? And they were told, you say Kaddish. What does saying Kaddish involve? It means a person coming, they have to come where there's a quorum of 10 people, a minyan, to go to a shul, and there are set times during the day, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, when they say Kaddish, and you go there and you recite this special prayer. Is it available in English? Yes, they have. The person, if the person has that little bit of desire, a person makes that effort, even though a person has their regular schedule and their work day and everything, the person goes to shul and sometimes that opens a door for the person where a person who had no Yiddishkeit at all, that one act alone, the fact that the person showed a little bit of a willingness to put themselves out, to go that block, one block, that becomes something mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. One mitzvah draws the other one, and the person suddenly starts getting curious, or people invite the person. The person becomes aware of the bigger picture of Yiddishkeit, and a person can be zoche to do complete tshuva, to become a completely observant Jew. But again, very often the way it works is that first the person is given some kind of a hint by Hashem, that Hashem calls out to the person. Unfortunately, sometimes it comes with negative circumstances. Someone passes away, someone's very sick, chas v'shalom, or a person gets hit by some kind of a catastrophe, and that causes the person, if the person is smart, they make a move, they make some kind of a move towards Hashem, and that move opens them up for a major, major flow of light from Hashem. One of the other items that's mentioned in this week's parsha is the Birchas Koyanim. That Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to Aharon HaKohen and his sons, and tell them, show them exactly how they should give a bracha to the Jewish people. And the Torah presents the actual wording of the bracha. In the way that it's presented here, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to Aharon and his sons, and tell them, this is how you should bless the Jewish people. Tell them, Emor Lohem, say to them. Emor Lohem is like a command. Now, the fact that it's said before, because this is how you should bless the Jewish people, it could easily have gone straight into Yivorechecho Hashem v'yishmorecho. Why repeating Emor Lohem? Tell them. Tell them means like tell a child to do something. Tell means a command. Rabbi Nizal says that we know that even when a tzaddik wants to make a request from Hashem, there's a concept, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Zimnin Deshama, Zimnin Deloshama. There are times that Hashem is more receptive, and there are times that Hashem is less receptive. Even when it comes to tzaddikim, there are times that the person's prayer will not be accepted. However, there is a tzaddik who's on a level where he can issue a decree. He can say, I declare that such and such should be, and it'll happen. And this is what the Pasuk is being marameis to us here. That Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Aaron HaKohen, this is how you give a bracha. And then he says, Emorla, tell them. Meaning that there are tzaddikim whose bracha can take effect sometimes and not take effect. And there is a tzaddik who has the power of Emor Lohem to issue a decree, and his decree is fulfilled. The Zohar HaKadosh gives an example of this, that one time during the time of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, he was with his son Rabbi Elazar, and they stepped outside and they saw that it was suddenly got very dark. And they understood that something's up, something terrible is about to happen. And sure enough, they saw an angel, and they approached the angel asking, what's your mission? What are you here for? And the angel said, Hashem sent me to destroy the world because of the fact that there aren't a certain number of tzaddikim of a certain caliber that are present at the time. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said to the angel, leave. Leave, go back up. Mission canceled. The angel goes back up to heaven and says, Hashem, you heard what he said. Hashem said, but I told you to go destroy, so go down, go back down. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal sees this angel a second time, and this time he says, now I'm adding a warning to it, that if you don't go back up, I don't know if you'll be able to get back up. And regarding your mission to destroy the world in terms of the number of tzaddikim, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal went into a whole discussion with the angel, showing him how the Torah, we know that Avram Avinu negotiated with Hashem regarding Sodom and Amorah, he brought Hashem down to the number 10. That if there are 10 tzaddikim, not 30, even 10 tzaddikim, it could be enough to save an entire area of many Rishonim. And then he took it further and he said, and we know there are psukim that show that even less than that, even 2 tzaddikim, their merit could be enough to save the world. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said, and if there aren't 2, then 1 also can do it, based on the pasuk, v'tzaddik yisoid olam. The pasuk says that the tzaddik is the foundation of the world. Foundation means the support, implying that his merit alone, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal's chus alone, is enough to sustain the world no matter what. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, at that point, the angel left, and Hashem made it perfectly clear how great is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, that Hashem gives him the power, the zchus, to be able to override a heavenly decree, to be able to insist that decree is nullified, and sure enough, that's what happens. Now, why is it that the Kohanim specifically were chosen to be the ones to give the bracha to Klal Yisrael? We know that one of the things that causes chas v'shalom klola, curse on the part of Hashem, or causes major severe punishment, is pigam habris. When a person chas v'shalom crosses a line regarding purity between men and women, the relationship between men and women, that's something that brings about a tremendous anger on the part of Hashem. We see from the story of Bilam that Bilam, when he tried many times to curse the Jews and he wasn't successful, in the end he approached Balak and told him, there Hashem despises zima, znus, sins related to women, chas v'shalom. If you can entice the Jews to commit those kinds of sins, then you got them. So Bilam understood that this is the item, Chas V'Shalom, that could be more powerful even than his filthy mouth in trying to curse the Jews. And again, what was Bilam's power based on? It was based on Pigam HaBris. The Torah tells us that Bilam was unique in this area, committing sins of bestiality with his donkey, etc. That Bilam was outstanding in this Tumah, and therefore he gave this advice to Balak, that this is how you could, Chas V'Shalom, harm the Jews in the worst way, to curse them where the curse should take effect. On the opposite end, we have the Kohanim, where the Torah tells us that the Kohanim are the ones who were given additional mitzvahs above the requirements of other Jews in this area. An ordinary Jew is allowed to marry a divorcee and other things that are permitted, whereas the Kohen has additional requirements of purity, of tahara. This is why they are the ones whose bracha is more effective, because the bracha is guided especially by this issue of Tikkun HaBris. Now, what's the bracha that they give based on the wording in the Torah? The opening words are Yivorechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. This is the Kohanim speaking to the Jews and saying, may Hashem bless you and protect you. So here we have the Baal Shem Tov. Yesterday was Shavuos. We celebrated Shavuos, which was the yahrzeit of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said once on the Gemara, there's a Gemara that says, Lo yimotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kli machzik bracha elo hashalom. That Hashem does not have a vessel that can contain blessing like shalom, like peace. The Baal Shem Tov says that just like if a person wants to give their friend something very expensive, very precious, and if they see that the friend's house has no windows to it, no door, the door is unlocked, the windows are open, they would hesitate to give it to them. Why? Because even if I give them this item, it's very likely that they're going to lose it. Somebody will come in and steal it. There's no shmirah, there's no guarding. The place isn't secure, it's not closed, it's not protected. So therefore, the bracha can't last. So too regarding Hashem. Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, Hashem has all the bracha, all the bounty in the world, but you need a kli, you need a shmirah, something that can protect, that the bracha won't, Hashem can give the bracha and it won't just fizzle out, or it won't just walk away. That keli, that vessel is shalom. And therefore the conclusion of the bracha is, V'yisa Hashem pano ve'lecha v'yosem l'cha shalom. That Hashem, that if we have shalom, then we have the house, the secure place where the bracha can be retained. That's one point. The other point is the fact that the pasuk says Yivorechecha Hashem, the Gemara says b'mamayim, with wealth, v'yishmerecha, and may Hashem protect you. What does it mean, protect you? Because we know that wealth can go one of two ways. There's a concept of oisher shomor lebaalav lerasoi, a wealth that's reserved for a person to harm them. The Torah says mar benechosim mar bedaiga, that by many people, the more that they have, the more they suffer, the more worries, the more struggles and difficulties. So here, when a person is given a bracha, the v'yivorechecha means money, Hashem right away puts next to it a v'yishmerecha, that the person should have a shmirah, that their money shouldn't be type B, it shouldn't be the type of money, chas v'shalom, that brings atzfus, that brings worries, that brings daigos, but rather the other type. The pasuk says, birkas Hashem yitashir, that when the ashirus is a bracha from Hashem, v'lo yosef otsev imo, then it has no atzfus, no depression, no worries associated with it. Should be zeicha now, we completed the holiday of Shavuos. The next major holiday is going to be Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the new year. So now, from Shavuos, we're continuing to close the current year, pretty much. We have the rest of the month of Sivan, Tammuz, Av, and Elul. Elul is the final month of the year before Rosh Hashanah. Shabbizrecha, that Hashem should shine upon us this bracha coming from the tzaddikim, and give us the protection, the shmira that we need, that the bracha should carry us through. Many shuls had Kiddush Levana last night, right after Shavuos. It's after 7 days. The wishing that the this month, the month of Sivan, the fact that we had Matan Torah in it, should be a month of Simcha, of Kiddusha, of Kirvas Avakim, and should lead to the building of the final Beis HaMikdash, the coming of Moshiach, in Herav Yameinu, Amen.